Asher lo l'shem shemayim, but they weren't l'shem shemayim. Pleasures, extra pleasures of this world that were not l'shem shemayim, you have to abandon. V'noytel yodov, that's what it means, nifter, to go to the bathroom. Let's get rid of the get rid of the stuff that's not necessary. That's not l'shem shemayim. V'noytel yodov, wash your hands. What does that mean, wash your hands? By the way, it means, of course, the simple meaning also. It means to go to the bathroom, wash your hands, put on tefillin, and then say Shema and Kriya Shema. The Tzaddik is speaking on a deeper level, Jewish and Remez and so on. Shomati shezer remizo rechitzos yadayim al siluk negiyas. Just throw it away from me. Just as we're learning about throwing away the things that are not necessary in this world, huh? Coffee, but coffee is there. You see that? Minish Shemayim. Shomati shezer remizos rechitzos yadayim al siluk hanegiyos. So Tzaddik says he heard that this alludes to getting rid of negiyos. What does it mean, getting rid of negiyos? That person does things many times with other motivations other than l'shem shemayim. He may do a mitzvah, he may do proper things, but he's doing it with the wrong kavanah. He's doing it with ulterior motives. So washing your hands clean, you should be clean of any other motivation other than to accept the yoke of Hashem. Yesh lo ma'oi roi mez al rechitzo mima shikfa nislach luchu klei ha'maise mo'isom hatinoifos v'yuchotzom b'mei hadas v'toher. Another pshat, he says, is to wash yourself clean of the tinoifos, of the filth that we were involved with, which soiled us, which dirtied us in our life. Things that he doesn't say which those things were, but we're involved with our klei ha'maisa, with our hands, with our bodies. We're involved with things that have maybe tainted us, spoiled us from accepting the yoke of Hashem properly. So yirchatzayim b'mei hadas v'torah. You should wash them off with the das. You should wash them off, meaning not water, necessarily water, but we have to use our mind, we have to use our intellect to purify ourselves, to elevate ourselves above the filth that involvement in things which would soil us to avoid the Hashem. Here he's probably alluding to, again, things that he spoke about before, the gilulei hataivus, things that are permissible in the world, but they were not, we didn't indulge in them in l'shem shemayim. It wasn't done l'shem shemayim. So that a person has to wash off, the mei hadas, the toher, has to wash away with his mind, that he has to know that all these things that are not l'shem shemayim don't bring him closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and may even distance him from the Rabbeinu Shalom, even though they're mutorim, even though they're not prohibited things. But as we spoke about last night, if a person after he finishes an experience is not filled with Yir Shemayim, it doesn't last. The Kal V'Chomer, if a person is filled with the opposite of Yir Shemayim after he is involved in some indulgence in worldly matters, that's something that's going to bring him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those things you have to wash away. Umaniach tefillin, and then you can put on tefillin. Kmo shekoso biyaros dvash, like Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz wrote, shu choisem shem shemayim shenois alav. That's the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we bear upon ourselves. You know they have these phones, these kosher phones,
mm-hmm.
has the stamp on it, mm-hmm. right? Or vada rabbanim, that means it's kosher. Got a stamp, right? So tefillin is our stamp. Tefillin is our stamp from the Rabbeinu Shalom that we belong to his. To his union. K'mo'evet sh'noise han sh'ko me'adoinoi lo'oishu adoinoi. Like an evet who has they used to have to wear some kind of a sign. They had to wear something around their neck to show that they were an Eved. So you had to wear the tefillin as an ois, as a sign for ourselves. And on the head, so that everyone could see. Now, the sign that we belong to this Baruch Hu, there's one for us that we have to know. That's on our arm. Nobody can see that. And on the head, that's for everybody else. Kishmo de Morale. They have to see. It has to be known to myself and to everyone else that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Master, is upon us. Then V'kari Kriya Shema. Then you can read the Shema. That's Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemaim. That's accepting the yoke of Hashem. Vol Torah Mitzvah. That's the first parasha, the first chapter of Kriya Shema. Then there's the second chapter, Vayim Shemura. That's the yoke of Torah and Mitzvah. And then Umispalel Gamzeh Tfilah Bichlam Malch Shemaim. Tfilah is also part of Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemaim. For Shukot V'Atosus, like Tosus says, Ki Kriya Shema Eino L'Neicha Hashem. You want to give the Gemara brachas? Oh, here it is. Here it is, right here. Tosa says, "Iker Kriyashma Tfilah, the Iker of Kriyashma Tfilah Shaykhah B'Tfilin. You have to be with Tfilin. Kedomah B'Somel, like the Gemara says later on, Kielu Meid Eid Shekhah B'Atma. If not, it's like you testified false testimony. Tirish Ba'odan Shetziva Shukoyah V'Hoyu L'Toyta V'Shaloy Tagyot B'Chavein. What is that? So for Kriyashma, say Kriyashma without Tfilin, like that we can understand is Eid Shekhah. It says the mitzvah of tefillin in the Kriya Shema, and you're saying it, and you're not doing it. That's Eidus Shekhah. That's false testimony. But what about tefillah? So Tosfos says the tefillah nami kedamron. Tefillah also is included in that. Kedamron kori Kriya Shema mispalazu malchus shemayim. That's called O Malchus Shemayim. Tosfos doesn't explain exactly why that is, but it's called. The Gemara calls that. Ol Malchus Shemayim. Now, the yoke that we accept in Kriya Shema is not complete until we're mispalo. There's Ol Malchus Shemayim, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Echad, Ol Torah Mitzvah, and we have to have the tefillin on when we're saying it, because it says all in those parashas you have to put on tefillin, but it's not completed until you daven. Ki Kriya Shema Eino L'Neicha Hashem. Kriya Shema, we're not talking to Hashem in Kriya Shema. Krishma is a parsha from the Torah. Shema Yisrael, we're talking to ourselves. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're not speaking to the Rabbeinu Shem, Baruch Ato Hashem. We're speaking to ourselves. We're learning Torah. It's a parsha in the Torah. Like a Seder Limud that we have with a bracha before, and two brachas before, and a bracha afterwards. But we're learning something in the Torah. Hashem is speaking to us. Masha'en came tefillah. Tefillah, we're speaking directly to Hashem. We're addressing Hashem Yisborah. Kidepirish Rashi in Brochas, Shleimus HaMalchus Shemayim She'elenoichach Hashem. The fulfillment of Malchus Shemayim is when we are facing Hashem, when we are directly, view ourselves directly in front of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. After you've prepared yourself, then you can be mispalo. So what he's saying here is that a very big chiddush is that the avoda before Kriya Shema of nifne, going to the bathroom, removing taivas, removing ourselves, cleaning ourselves, purifying ourselves from the taivas that soiled us and spoiled us, and then putting on the oath, putting on the sign that we're an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then accepting the yoke of the Master, and then accepting the mitzvahs of the Master, all that is part of the preparation for tefillah. Tefillah is the Makir B'Patish, that's the Gemar of Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim, perhaps the essence of Malchus Shemayim, which is a very big Kiddush, which Rav Tzedek is saying here, that the pinnacle of all Malchus Shemayim is not the Kriya Shema. Still part of the Achana, still the preparation of the full acceptance of Kriya Shema, of all Malchus Shemayim. The full acceptance of all Malchus Shemayim is that we should feel we're in front of Hashem at every moment. But we can't just fall into that. It takes preparation, it takes psychological and actually physical preparation to be able to feel Noichach Hashem. That's the beginning, as we spoke about last time, the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, is Shivisa Hashem Lenobi Tomid. As the Shulchan Aruch, the first scale of the Shavuot there, Shivisa Hashem Lenobi Tomid, the Klal Godel Ma'ala Sa Tzadikim. That's the way, first of all, Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't matter. Or Chaim, Aleph, make sure it's Chelek Aleph. Look on the back. No, it's fine. Okay. Or Chaim Aleph. That's not going to help. You get the first Chelek of the Mishnah Berurah, it's easy. Right, the Mishnah Berurah is right underneath it.
Yeah.
Underneath, underneath on the left. Big blue set on the left, that's it.
Okay.
Aleph. Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Somid, Hashem we put in front of us all the time. David HaMelech said he put Hashem in front of him all the time. Who Klal Godel B'Torah, that's the fundamental, the greatest fundamental of Torah. Who B'Mailos HaTzadikim, and the highest levels of the Tzadikim, HaShaholchim L'Snei Elokim, that go in the ways of Hashem, Kein Yeshivas Odom U'Tzinois V'Asokav U'Levadoi, when a person is moving around, sitting, relaxing in his house, it's not the same when he's alone. It's not the same as when a big king walks into his house, all of a sudden he finds himself uncomfortable, sitting this way, moving that way. He doesn't dress the same, he doesn't look the same, he doesn't act the same, he doesn't eat the same, either, because he's got a chosh of a person in his presence. Even he doesn't speak or open his mouth in the same way. When he's in the king's palace, you just don't do things the same way. When a person puts in his heart that the greatest of all kings, that he fills the whole world, it's all his palace. Hashem's honor, his presence is upon us. He sees what we're doing. Can a person find any hiding place where Hashem doesn't see him? Hanum Hashem. Yad, when a person really feels that, Yagir Lav Hagiro, he will feel the real fear of Hashem, Vachno, and submission, Tachad Hashem Yisboch, and fear of Hashem, Uboishto, Mimeno, and shame and embarrassment from him, Tomid, all the time. So that is the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. That's really the what's necessary to fulfill all the halachas of the Shulchan Aruch. So Reb Tzedek is telling us that the old Malchus Shemayim is dependent upon that hargosha, that feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of us. And that's only achieved after we've prepared ourselves properly with the tefillin and the Kriya Shema, the Tzedakah, all the things that are necessary, and then we can speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and actually feel like we're in His presence. Now, the Tzedek puts as the emphasis here, based on the Gemara here, which, by the way, the Goyen says, the Gros says a similar concept, that the Gemara says you should, the idea of going to the Beis HaKisa, of going to the bathroom, and the Gemara alludes to also abandoning Moisoros, like giving up the things that are unnecessary in life. The Gros says, for instance, that the sweetness of Torah, you like learning Torah's Gishmak? Yeah, I also like learning Torah's Gishmak. But that's not the real Gishmak of Torah. None of us have ever tasted the real Gishmak of Torah. Right, the Goyen says it's impossible to taste the sweetness of Torah till a person has eliminated all the taivas of his body. There's not that many taivas. So we can only imagine what the real taste of Torah is. But one thing is clear, that we can understand even at our level, that the more worldly affairs, worldly matters pleasures make a difference to us, the less we're able to connect to the pleasure of Torah. A person whose whole mind is set on dining and whining and pleasure trips and sightseeing and gadgets and gimmicks and all sorts of things that people are involved with, not going to have a lot of patience for a Tzeis HaChoshen. The Gishmak of a Machlekes Hashanim, the Miyash of a Machlekes Hashanim Tzeis. They're not going to have a lot of patience for that kind of stuff. It's not tangible enough for him. And we understand ourselves that the more that we are devoted to a Torah at the expense of other things, the more we appreciate Torah. So everybody has to, according to his Madrega, be able to test what is really necessary and what is not. I'm not willing to go without a bed. Shimon bar Yochai was willing to go without a bed for 13 years. No bed. No clothes, no bed. He lived in sand for 13 years. He was willing to give up everything for Torah. We can't do that. We can't give up the bed. I'm not willing to give up my air conditioning in the summer or the heating in the winter. We're human mortal beings, right? We need certain, what they call, creature comforts. Right? Yeah, we need creature comforts, some of them. But it doesn't mean we have to take it to the nth degree. We don't have to have all the latest gadgets, even if we could afford them. Even if we could afford them. Kal v'chomer if we can't afford them, right? and we don't need every hanoah, every taiva that's available to us. Everybody says, does Chazal say everything you could take pleasure from and you didn't, you're going to give an accounting for in the next world? We'll talk about that at Chazal a different time. But it certainly doesn't mean that a person, Chazal certainly didn't mean that a person should be overindulgent in worldly matters. Otherwise, lo matzanu v'lo ra'inu, lo yishamanu. We haven't heard or seen a person who is so enveloped and so indulged, indulgent in physical pleasures that he's a godel v'tera. Lo yishamanu v'lo ra'inu. We didn't see it. We didn't hear about it. There were certain gedolei Yisrael that were wealthy. That Yehuda Nosi was the wealthiest of the wealthiest. Rashash was a wealthy man. Different people, gedolei Yisrael, that were Talmid Chachamim were wealthy also, but Rabbi Yehuda Nosi said it didn't mean anything to him, all his wealth. Before he died, he raised his 10 fingers and said, "Loi nanesi mimena afilu esbek tan." He says, even a finger's worth, his little finger worth, he didn't have pleasure in the things that he owned. He didn't care about anything. He cared about her. It didn't mean anything to him. It was all the shame shemayim to bring kavod to the Rabbeinu Shloim. The thing is in Avodas Hashem, we get hung up on the Chas V'Shalom, not hung up, but we get stuck on the Maaseh, but we have to understand what the Maaseh is really coming to tell us, the Maaseh Mitzvahs. Maaseh Mitzvahs are really an expression of Kabbalah Tol Malchus Shemayim. What we're really supposed to be is Avodim to Hashem. We're supposed to bear the name of Hashem upon us. We have to see it, it's our Tzulim Shel Yad. Everybody else has to see it. They have to see that we're a person walk around as servants of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We serve the Master. That's what it's all about. So we live in a generation where there's a big emphasis of dikduk in halacha, of being very cautious in halacha, which is important. We're supposed to be medaktik in halacha. But sometimes it gets to the point of you can't see the forest because of the trees, right? That you get so involved in the dikduk of ma'isim, you don't realize that what it's all about is to achieve a madrega of shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomi. And that we acquire only through preparation. So a person has to have tremendous preparation, the nekiyus, the cleanliness of not overindulging in worldly pleasures and material pleasures, unnecessary material pleasures, cleansing ourselves with our own minds, with our own intellectual introspection of the things that we thought we needed, and we find out we really don't need. Do I really need, did I need that cup of coffee? No, but it was gishmai. It came out really good. It doesn't always taste it. It was, it came out perfect the way I like it. It doesn't always, sometimes you mess up, like pour it a little bit. Not everything that you need, you want, you need. And the mehadas, the das of a person, the Rambam uses this metaphor also, that the das, the intellect of a person, is like a mikveh. Removes the tumah, mikveh removes that which is interferes with our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So through the das of a person, the intellect of a person, we can remove those barriers that stand between us and Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim. I have to have my my stake the way I like it. So I have to work more hours because that stake is expensive, and working more hours means less Torah. And I have to have it. Maybe don't think about it. Maybe you can really, after introspection, you can think about what that stake is really doing for you. What's the upside of the stake, and what's the downside of the stake, and what do you pay for the stake in terms of your avodas Hashem? I have nothing against stakes. I'm just saying a person has to use his intellect like a mikveh to remove the things that are interfering with avodas Hashem. Then that's kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim Shlema. So tefillah, the other nekuda that which comes out from this tzaddik is how important it is tefillah that we person would think. Krishma's Doraisa and Tfilah's Darabonin. So, you know, I davened well until Krishma. Now I can let my mind wander. Relax. Tfilah's only Darabonin. So it comes out, according to based on what Tosa says in the Gemara, Rotzodek explains it. No, Tfilah itself is part of the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim. It's part of the Hashloma. That's the perfection of the old Malchus Shemayim that often comes in Tfilah. So there's a preparation, there's an upward movement of Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim up through Tefillah. If we stop at Tefillah, then we're missing the Iker. That is the essence of Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim is expressed in the feeling of Noichas Pnei Hashem, of feeling Mamish in Hashem's presence. That doesn't come in Kriyashma. Kriyashma is a Musa Sefer, right? Even if he takes your body, even if he takes your money, you take everything, you should serve him properly. It's a Musa Seder, right? You're learning the Torah, gives you Musa in Kriyashma. Halacha, Tzitzis, all the things we have in Kriyashma, all the mitzvahs of Kriyashma, if we do them, we get Skar, the Gashmis, the world will be ignited. If not, Hashem will banish us from the land. It's a good chizuk for us. It's in the Kabbalah, Old Malchus Shemayim, the Old Torah mitzvahs. But we're not talking to the Ribbono Shel. We're not meant to even feel that when we say Kriya Shema that we're Noichas Pnei Hashem, that we're directing ourselves towards Hashem. We'll be mekabel on ourselves His yoke. When do we feel that? Of course, well, you know, it's roll call now. Now if Hashem spoke, is calling us. Okay, I want to talk to you now. That comes in Tefillah, only in Tefillah. Tefillah is the Hashlama, the completion of the Ol Malchus Shemayim, and without it, you yotze the halacha in Olam Emet. They can't say you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma, but the purpose of Kriyashma you didn't fulfill. The reason that Kriyashma was given, according to this, was as a hachana, as a preparation, so that we could feel Nochas Pnei Hashem, we could feel in front of Hashem, and that's really only brought out in the Shmoneh Esrei when we dive into the Ribbono Shel, speak directly to the Ribbono Shel. Also throws a new light on tefillah itself, that tefillah, we view tefillah as it's a time to ask for the things that we want to ask for. It's request time, right? Office hours. The Kosh Boch has office hours 3 times a day. You know, what do you like? What do you hear? What do you need? What are you here for? What do you need? But we see from here that the Shemoneh Esrei, tefillah itself, the Shemoneh Esrei, is much more than that. Not but just because even the tefillah itself is all the Gemara says is all lashon rabim. We ask for clarity, so we don't ask for ourselves. There's a place to ask for yourself also. You can stick in personal requests, but that's not the essence of tefillah. The essence of tefillah is to ask in lashon rabim, in the plural, for all of klal yisrael, that klal yisrael should have the things that it needs in order that we can do the job that we're meant to do in this world with a healthy and whole body. With good state of mind and a good state of physique and intellect and emotion and everything that we need in order to be the emissaries of a Kodesh Baruch in this world. That's what it's Kved Hashem. It's all avoid the Litzorach Gavra. Tefillah itself is for Kvod Shemayim. When Klai Yisrael is in a good situation, they look healthy, they look taken care of, they look like they're doing their job properly. That's the Kved Malchus Shemayim that reflects well on our Master, on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who is power to bring answer to increase the covet of Hashem in the world through the welfare which is manifest through the welfare of Klal Yisrael. That's our kavana, is a kavana pshut, a simple kavana in tefillah. It's not a time. In essence, it's not a time to go through our shopping list. Chazal were facilitated that also. You can make yerba kosher at the end of tefillah or in Shema Kerleinu. There's a place for it. But that's not the essence. That's not really what we're trying to accomplish in tefillah. We're really trying to accomplish in tefillah is to increase the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world through the tefillah. Through the berba kosher at tefillah. Recognition first of that Hashem is the King. The first three brachas, the last three brachas, and the bakoshas that are in the middle, it's all to create a greater awareness, a greater reality of noichach Hashem Yisbach, that we are in front of Hashem all the time. That's the Siman Vav. Move on to Siman Zayin. Zman Kriyashma, this is a very interesting product here also. Zman Kriyashma, Toli Bezman Achila B'Mishnah, Teresh Brachas. It says it's very interesting. This is a typical Reb Tzadok original approach to Torah. What is the Mishnah saying? Brachas. Hey, Meimasai Karin. Meshashma. Bavis. When? From when? Zman Shakonim. There's nothing left all but Shumot. From the time the Karin go to eat their Shumot. The Brisa says on Amud Beis, when is Zman Kriyashma? Mishenichnas ha'oni le'echol pitoi. Mishenichnas kol odom le'echol be'ave shabosis. Always the mission and the Brises are showing that the time of Kriyashma, demonstrating the time of Kriyashma starts when you either the oni eats, when most people eat on Shabbos, Mishikiddush Hayom, when people start making Kiddush and eating their Tzudas, when it's Kohanim eat their Truma, what's it got to do with eating? We don't eat anything before Kriyashma. Always the Zman of Kriyashma is tied to the time of somebody eating. Is that a coincidence, Shmuel? Yes, we would have thought so. Until Reb Tzadok came along and says, it can't be a coincidence. Why couldn't it find another reason? You know, Zman Kriyashma starts when beavers start chopping the wood for the next dam. I don't know, probably there's a lot of things. I don't know when beavers start cutting their wood. But there's probably a lot of things that happen around that time, you know, like it's a very, the nocturnal animals start up, who knows what, you know, people run out of energy, you know, all sorts of things happen at that time. Why doctor all these examples of eating? So he says it's not a coincidence, it's because eating is the kiyum hachaim. You can't live without food. V'kach kabolas ol malchus shamayim, so is kabolas malchus shamayim. A person shouldn't view Kabbalah's Malchus as a pledge of allegiance, a nice thing to do, to pledge allegiance to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Which party do you belong to? I'm a Democrat. You don't have to belong to the Democratic Party. You can vote Democrat without belonging to the party, right? You don't have to belong to the party. You can vote Republican if you like, whatever you want to vote, you can do. You don't have to be part of the party. So, I believe in Hashem, wonderful, I'll even say it every day. It's a very nice thing to add on, this statement, declaration every day. So it's not a very nice thing. It's essential. It's kium achayim. That's what sustains the world. Just like eating in the morning, in the evening, is what sustains us. We eat in the morning to sustain us during the daytime, and we eat in the evening to carry us over till the morning. So too is the Ol Malchus Shamayim of the morning. We spoke about this before. I think it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We spoke about it before. The Ol Malchus Shamayim of the morning carries us through the day. It's the like the Schalte Lishmo, when you begin a mice, you started Lishmo, like a get, when you write a get, you started Lishmo, then the whole thing, the whole get, the whole mice is considered Lishmo. During the daytime, we say the Kriyashma that carries through the entire day, and in the nighttime, every moment, as Reb Tzadok explained in Siman Gimel, in Siman Hay, that the mitzvah of Malchus Shamayim is not a one-time thing, it's a mitzvah tmidis, that we have to bear the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every moment, to feel his presence at every moment. But we need to revigorate that twice a day. That has to happen twice a day because there's a change in the human being in the morning from the evening. In the evening we're about to settle back and relax and stop our activity in the morning, about to begin our activity. Each one of those times, as we spoke about in Siman Hay, has its special need for a Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim. Uman de omer ma'ani bedas, ma'ani bedas, she'ein lo ne'er lo hoyer ein eistich lo umar b'achila pshuta. According to one opinion in the Gemara, we saw it, that the time of saying Krishna is when the Oni starts eating his bread at night. Right? That was one of the opinions in the Braisa. When does the man Krishna start? When the Oni goes to eat at night, and he doesn't have that much to eat, right? And he doesn't have, Rashi Bhanda, he doesn't have a candle.
Right.
So he's got to eat quickly. First of all, he doesn't have that much to eat, because he's an Oni. Secondly, he doesn't have a candle, so he's got to eat quickly, right? So Tzodik says, that's the, like the Gemara says in Kedushin, Ein Oni Ela Badah. What Oni, when it says Oni in the Torah, it really the real meaning of Oni is somebody who's lacking intellectual perception. He doesn't really understand what life is about. Doesn't understand Torah, doesn't understand Yerushalayim, even in the Parshat of things, he doesn't understand Derech Eretz or how to make a Parnassah. The problem of Aneis is a problem in your mind. Now, in order to have a word that will express that in a physical level also, we borrow the term to a person who has no money. A person has no money, but he's an Oni. He's lacking what it takes to live, to sustain himself, to be a mensch. But the real meaning of Oni, you have put in the definition orders in the definition, the order of definitions in the dictionary, definition one of Oni is that it's a person who's lacking intellect, who's lacking knowledge, who's lacking the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real Oni. So the Gemara is alluding to that Oni. When the Gemara says from the time that the Oni goes to eat his bread at night, is referring to that Oni. Shein lo ner, and Rashi points out, he doesn't have a candle, meaning the candle is always a metaphor for enlightenment, for understanding. So he just eats. His eating is like an animal, like a beaver eats, chews away at the wood. He's just an animal, like eating. So too, according to this brisa, that particular brisa, the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, it's a Poshet Ol Malchus Shemayim. You just be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim without any big hasogas. He's not a Chusli. He doesn't have the Kabbalas Arizal. Poshet is Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. The Chadman Domer De Bosa, that later on the Gemara brings another brisa, and it's talking about most people, when most people eat. The gamkein ein tzorich taro, rak mesinus ksas ad shiyeh ner Hashem nishmas odem meir ein esikla. So the later time, I mean the later brisa says that the time of Krishna starts not when the Oni eats, but when most people eat. When do most people eat? So he's talking about most people who have a bit. Most people are not poor in their understanding of Hashem Yisborah. They have more of an awareness of Hashem. They have a candle. The neshamas are working properly. They have a certain awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. So these type of people, they have a bit more time on their hands to be able to eat because they got more food and they got more understanding. So that's the next level of Kriyashma with more understanding. The other mandoma, the other brayse in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, is the time for Krishna starts when people eat on Shabbos. Not when they eat every day, but when they eat on Shabbos. What's the mile of Shabbos? So Rashi explains over there that Shabbos, everything is prepared ahead of time. You're not going to put off the meal because everything's prepared ahead of time. V'day l'Krishma shel Arvis ha'achona shemibod yoyim ayde maise hayoyim. V'in tzorich ha'achona ches. So these type of people, he says these are people who've done during the daytime, they've done a proper Avodah Hashem. These are people who prepared ahead of time their Avodah, and they don't need a tremendous amount of preparation to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. V'ha'alocha, he says, ha'alocha kekanim. But the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah gives the time is dependent on when kanim meet their truma. Now, they're very chashuv people, right? It's going from the least chashuv to the most chashuv, from the Oni to most people. Most, then it goes to the people Erev Shabbos, and then it goes to the Kohanim. Shem Badloni Mikol Enyon Oilam Azeh. Kohanim are not involved at all in the physical world. Shem Lehem Ela Eisek Atzer. Kohen, the tribe of Levi, was to be set aside to be Oisek Yoimam Velayla just in Torah. For Shekos of Aram, like the Rambam explains. Kein Shemati Bezeh. V'chilosim kodesh Hashem v'tzichim tara. When they eat, they can't just eat. They have to purify themselves first because they're eating truma, right? Truma you can't eat with the guf tomeh. You have to prepare yourself. Your body has to be prepared. Kach l'kriyashma nifne v'noitel yodav kodem kosh k'savti lo pirusha. So to in kriyashma, this is the halacha of Bemis, is like the Mishnah. The halacha is not stam. The time of the Mishnah wasn't just saying, you know, this mashal could have said a different mashal. That it's not enough. Kriyashma is not enough to just consider to take bikabu kriyashma like an oni or like rov bnei adam or even a person that's prepared himself properly. But you're just eating normally. You have to be like a kohen. You have to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, which is the chiyus, which maintains and sustains the body, sustains life. You have to do the betara. A kohen can't just go and eat his meal right away. He's got to go to the mikveh first, right? If he became tummy, he's got to go to the mikveh first and retire himself from the tumor. So too, says Reb Tzadok, that's why ol malchus shemayim shleima, that the ultimate of ol malchus shemayim, of mekabel ol malchus shemayim, is not enough just to say the shema. Not enough just to fall into the Kriya Shema. You have to consider yourself like a Kohen. It needs preparation. What's the preparation for Shema, for Malchus Shemayim? The things that we were talking about before. The Tara, not just Tara, Saguf, in the Mikvah, but to use the mind to be Matara oneself, to the abandoning, to be willing to let go of the things in this world that are not necessary for our... It's beyond what's necessary for us in order to be proper over to Hashem with a healthy mind and a healthy body. Everyone's a little bit different. You know, you can have people, some wealthy people, very well-to-do, they don't need too much. They don't live such a high lifestyle. Sometimes you see a person who's got less money, lives a higher lifestyle. Now, it could be this problem in the head also, right? The person's head, that's what the Reb Tzadok is saying. You have to wash your hands, and you have to use the mind like a mikveh, and you have to clean yourself up. You have to realize what is really necessary for my life and what is not. What part of my lifestyle is an asset for Avodas Hashem and what part of it and assists me in Avodas Hashem and what part of it doesn't. What part of it is a Chaim once asked a certain wealthy person for contribution to the yeshiva and he gave him a small amount. The Chaim felt he could afford more, but he saw he had these very beautiful curtains on the window, which I guess were very, very expensive curtains. And so you should know when you get to Olam that your Olam Haba you hung on your window. you hung your Olam Haba on the window. There's your Olam Haba. He says, what do you mean? He says, because you spent so much money on the curtains, so you say you can't afford now to give money to yeshivas. So instead of the Olam Haba you would have had from that money, by giving it to yeshivas, you have it on your window there. There's your Olam Haba. Now if a person would use his das, I'd say, wait a second. Is that really necessary? A person told me this person is not such a not known to be the greatest Eved Hashem in the world. Now, Orthodox Jew, keeps Shabbos and kashrus to the best of his ability, I guess. Certainly not a big tzaddik, not a ben Torah and everything. But he told me, you know, he said one thing that would be important that would help all the institutions of Torah would be if people would lower the level of their symptoms. You know, why do you have to spend $100,000 for a bar mitzvah? Now, that extra money, you could do a bar mitzvah for a lot less than that. No question. I mean, my bar mitzvah, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to make a bar mitzvah in Talmud, won't get even close to that number, right? You can make a push the bar mitzvah. It doesn't have to be nevi, as they say. It doesn't have to be a lack of kovin bar mitzvah, but it doesn't have to cost $100,000. There's something between not adequate to the hottest event in town, right? So a person would think through his lifestyle and think that, you know, there's parts of my lifestyle that not only are helping me in Avodas Hashem, but interfering with Avodas Hashem. People could give a lot more tzedakah if they'd lower the standard of living. So is a person mechuyev to lower his standard of living? No, not mechuyev. But like Chofetz Chaim says, when you get to Olam Haba, they say, well, hey, where's all the... You had it on your Lexus, and you had it on your windows, and you had it in your redecorating every 3 years because of the chandelier in the bathroom, you know, the proverbial chandelier in the bathroom. There has to be a chandelier in the bathroom, no? There has to be a chandelier. That's why we didn't put them in here. The person has to use his das, his mind, to sort out what part of Olam Hazeh is really necessary for him. He doesn't have to live austerely. He doesn't have to live like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. To know really what when you get married, also you have somebody else to consider, and you have your